bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Joe Montone, your host, and our show today is Finding God in Prison. As we begin our program, I want to thank our founders, Dale and Jane, for the opportunity to be here once again on the air and for the blessing of their friendship. Also want to thank Frank Eliason for the tremendous job he's been doing for our radio station, for producing our shows, and for taking care of the needs of WISP and WCOJ, 1570 AM and 1420 AM. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here once again, my friends. And also want to thank our listening audience, our Holy Spirit Radio family, because without you, really, we wouldn't be here. And so we appreciate all that you have done for us here at Holy Spirit Radio, all of the support you've given us over the years. And as we recently celebrated Easter, my friends, also known as Resurrection Day, I want to thank Jesus for all he did for us. Truly, without the Lord, we would never have access to eternity. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And on that note, my friends, I want to say God bless you and let you know that today our show is dedicated to all those people who are believers of Jesus and to all those faithful believers who never give up, no matter what others say, to all those parents out there who encourage their children to pray and to keep holy the Sabbath day, to all those dedicated prayer warriors who motivate and educated others to keep the faith and to persevere through tough times. Yes, today, my friends, our show is dedicated to all Christians who love the Lord and our Blessed Mother Mary. And if you're out there, I ask you to pray for us today and to keep us in your prayers as we go along throughout the week. And my friends, as we get started, I want to just mentioned that our hot topic for today is focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as today is Friday after the resurrection, the timing is perfect. And so for all that our Lord did for us in his life, death, and resurrection, we give thanks to our Lord and to our Father in heaven, because without them we'd have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go when our time comes. No eternity. So again, we thank our Lord, our Father in heaven, for all that they have done for us. And it is a blessing to be a Christian and a blessing to be a believer in Christ. And I thank God for our faith. And you know, faith is a gift and it requires time and effort. And as believers, we need to give that time, that quality time, and make a strong effort to continue to grow in faith over the years so our faith does not stagnate, but it continues to grow. So each and every day of the week, throughout the year, we want to see what can we do to continue to grow in faith. Very important, like a flower that blooms in the spring. It requires watering. It requires food and nourishment. And so does our spiritual growth, our faith, which is a gift. But we have to continue to grow in faith. And that requires quality time and effort on our part so we don't lose our faith, walk away from the Lord. In good times and in bad times, the Lord is there. But sometimes people stagnate. And we need to continue to work at that. And so with that, we want to go to our first reading today. And this is important now. This is a reading from the book of Acts. And here it is. Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name, the word of the Lord." And in the book of Acts today, my friends, we have a great message here. And again, God says, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." And that's right. We're all one in God's eyes. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're all equal. There is no division in God's eyes. We're all human beings. And although we as humans sometimes have qualities within us that don't breed unity, but they breed division. And it's up to us to do the best we can to breed unity through attributes such as kindness and patience and understanding and compassion and generosity, versus those that breed division, which will be jealousy and envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and a superego. This is important, my friends, that we recognize that God shows no partiality. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, where you live, what kind of car you drive. It does not matter. What matters most is what God says to do and not to do. Again, in every nation around the world, whoever fears the Lord and acts uprightly is acceptable to God. And he goes on to say, he commissioned us to preach to people, to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And as we follow in the footsteps of the apostles here at Holy Spirit Radio, we too preach to the people and testify that Jesus is the appointed one by God as the only judge of the living and the dead. And this is powerful because Holy Spirit Radio really is doing just that for 22 years, bringing the message of the gospel, which has a great focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his life, death, and resurrection. And we want to reflect on that because We all want to do our best as disciples of the Lord, becoming closer in a personal relationship to Jesus and then going out. He commissions us to preach to others in a loving and an approachable way. And we are called to do it. And he says to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive the forgiveness of sins through the name of Jesus. Forgiveness of sins. What a beautiful thing. And this is important, my friends. From the book of Acts today, we see again that God shows no partiality. We are all equal. And so we proceed each day with the golden rule to treat others as you would like to be treated. We too must show no partiality in the midst of a world of racism, pride, prejudice, and great division amongst people of different nationalities, of different denominations, different color skin. We too must show no partiality. And the Lord says to strive to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, our Heavenly Father shows no partiality, so we too must do the same. That is the path we must take, the way we must go, and there's no time like the present to get started, my friends, because we're in a world where we have great division. And it's up to us, through the Word of God, to bring the love of God to other people and to show no partiality, but to treat everyone the same way. And as we move to our second reading from the book of Colossians, I want to remind our listening audience that you're listening to Joe Montone here at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Let me say God bless you and thank you for listening today. Here we go with the book of Colossians. If then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord. A great reading from the book of Colossians. And so St. Paul tells us, you know, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seek what is above. Think of what is above, my friends, not what is on earth. St. Paul is giving us some great advice today to shift our focus from earthly things, from material things, and from temporary things, things which do not last, and shift them to keeping an eye on what God is telling us to do. Shifting to God by seeking what is beyond our sight, to have vision into the future with the Lord. It's powerful. Many years ago, when my father was alive, when I was growing up in Long Island, New York, my father would always say to my mother, Ann, let's not go out. Let's go out for the day on Saturday and enjoy the day. Let's not stay home and clean the house every Saturday. Life is too short. When we're gone, the house will still be here. Well, this year on May 6th, coming up, my friends, my father will be gone 40 years as he died May 6, 1981. Mom is now 90 years old and lived in the same house after his death until about 85 years old. So another 35 years she lived in the house after he died. And my father was right. The house is still there after he is gone. So we have to think about the things that are temporary, the things that are earthly focused, and shift our view onto God and what is everlasting. Shift it onto preparing for eternity and to help our children and grandchildren to do the same. As St. Paul says, seek what is above and not what is on earth. It's all temporary, my friends. While we're here, let's enjoy our lives, but let's also make room for the Lord and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Very powerful message by St. Paul, who made the great transition from earthly things to heavenly things. And we need to follow in those footsteps. And the Lord provided St. Paul as a great role model for us to follow in his footsteps. But a great message today for all of us to embrace, not to just hear and let it go in one ear and out the other, but to embrace it and to live it out, to try to, prepare more for what's beyond these temporary things here in the world that we live in. We're going to continue with our readings now, my friends. We're going to go to the Gospel of John. And from John 20, which is a great message. And here it is. And remember, we're just coming through Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. We're now in the first week of Easter on Friday, and it is a powerful time to rejoice. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel reading today, my friends, St. John tells us, then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and then he believed. God's word says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." This is us, my friends, because we have not walked with Jesus. We have not seen the miracles. We have not seen him put to death and then rise in 3 days and preach in front of thousands. And we have not seen the burial cloth rolled up and put into a separate place. But we have seen other evidence, such as the flowers that bloom every year in the springtime, the birth of a newborn child, the vast oceans that connects the continents on the earth. It's powerful. The conversion of a man who changes his life. The conversion of a woman who goes from a drug user and a prostitute to a God-centered life. And there are so many things that God provides as evidence that He is there with us, including the stories of men who have left corporate America to serve God as priests and deacons. Conversion is a powerful thing, my friends. It will change your life. But we believe because we have faith. And faith is defined as a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Strong belief in God or in the doctrine of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. The book of Hebrews says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And faith is a gift. And really, blind faith is what we're talking about, because we haven't seen the Lord as the apostles saw Him, who walked with Him, who ate with Him, who observed Him, creating miracles on the blind, on the crippled, on the people who were demonic, on Lazarus, who He brought back from the dead. Blind faith, because we were not there. But as the story gets told for 2,000 years of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the life of Christ, which is so rich with goodness in helping other people, the life of Christ, which is a life-changing event and series of events that the apostles witnessed, that the Blessed Mother was there for, is a life-changing event. But we, my friends, have a blind faith because we were not there. But we know the story, and we believe, and we haven't seen. I want to go back to my aviation days for a moment. Many years ago, I was flying an airplane for the first time on instruments. And I remember the first time I flew an airplane on instruments in the clouds. This required total focus, blind trust on the instruments, and total trust on the aircraft and the flight instruments that I was using that day. It was very different and kind of scary, because when you looked outside the window, all you could see is visible moisture with the clouds. And every pilot who is training to become a commercial pilot or a professional private pilot must get an instrument rating, which gives him the ability to fly in the clouds or in low visibilities. And he has to believe in the instruments because he can't see out the window. And I remember the first approach we made coming out of the clouds. Electronic navigation was used, the instrument landing system coming down to the runway. And all we can see was white cloud outside the window, visible moisture. And as we broke out at 200 feet, the runway was below us, the center line was there, and it was a beautiful thing, a very comforting feeling. But to fly on instruments, you have to have blind faith in the instruments. And this is important, to fly under what we call instrument flight rules. In a similar way, many years ago, my friends, when I was just 18 years old and training to be a pilot, I was on a cross-country flight from Islip, New York to Barnes, Massachusetts. I was flying a Cessna 152, a two-seater with no autopilot. The first leg was about an hour long, and it was a great flight and uneventful. On the ground, I decided to have lunch. so I had a hamburger and a Coke, and then prepared the airplane for the return trip. On the flight home, the air was much more turbulent, and there were snow showers en route that were not forecasted. About 20 minutes into the flight, I began to get airsick. And that's exactly what happened. With no autopilot and no one else to fly the airplane, I had about 40 minutes to fly. And at that point, I called out to God for strength to get me through this flight, as I was very nauseous. At the time, I was flying over the Catskill Mountains at about 3,000 feet in moderate turbulence. And within a few minutes, God answered my prayer and had given me a renewed sense of energy and a strong focus on those same flight instruments. I couldn't see God, but I knew He was right there with me. And this is what I call blind faith. When I landed the plane, I gave God the thanks that He was due in getting me through my first and only experience with air sickness in 42 years of flying. It was an amazing story, as I was only 18 years old and without an autopilot. Getting sick in an airplane is quite difficult. But he got me through. He pulled me through, gave me what I need, and that's what the Lord does. As you keep your focus on the Lord, as we keep our focus there, the Lord always provides what we need to get through, no matter what the circumstances. It's not always what we want. It's not always what we pray for, but it's always what we need. And who better to know what we need than our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Father. So that was an amazing story for me, as it took me back to 1978. And I share that with you again because the focus today is on blind faith. And there have been many apparitions, you know, over the years that have taken place. And when you look at the apparition sites like Fatima and Lourdes and other sites, it takes blind faith to believe that the Blessed Mother had appeared to the three children in Fatima. And we know that the struggle in getting the message across was very great for the children in any apparition site, because in general, we don't want to believe. But again, God says, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. And for the children who have seen the apparition, it's a blessing. They are a vehicle by which God gets a message to His people by the millions. Like Saint Juan Diego in Mexico City, who saw Our Lady of Guadalupe in the year 1531. It's very powerful. And no one wanted to believe him, like the children in Fatima. But the end result is the conversion of millions of people. Millions of Aztec Indians in the country of Mexico, in Mexico City. And so they built the Basilica of Guadalupe, both the old and then the new. But more close to 500 years ago, this took place. Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe. And through the visionary, like Saint Juan Diego and the children of Fatima, God brings a great message once again to the people who need it the most. But why? Very simply, to grow in faith. Because they're not walking the path of God. They're not leading a God-centered life. They're off course. They're off track. God's bringing them back through visionaries and through the Word of God. He increases people's faith in various ways. Again, like St. Paul, the great role model for conversion, who the Lord knocked off his horse, made him blind for 3 days, and then gave him his eyesight back. And then he changed his life through faith. The Lord prepared him. He encouraged him. He taught him. He inspired him. He educated him. And then he gave him the great commission to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God, to bring it through 13 books of the Bible. St. Paul tells us many things. It's powerful. And through the visionaries, we've learned many things. Through the prophets, we've learned many things. Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe. It's a great message. And my friends, proof is defined as evidence or argument establishing or helping to establish a fact or the truth of a statement. Proof in the Word of God that Jesus is Lord comes from Philippians, where it says that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's where we are today, my friends. We live in a world where we all want proof for everything. We want insurance that what I believe to be true is the truth. But my friends, God doesn't work that way. He calls us to have faith, blind faith. And like St. Paul and many others who were spiritually blind, God opened their eyes. He opened my eyes, gave me a reversion experience. He opens our eyes widely for us all to see life clearly and to no longer live in darkness, but to come to the light. And he calls all of us to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's powerful. How can you and I believe in someone that we can't see? How can we trust someone that we can't see and don't even know? It's impossible with humans, but with God, all things are impossible. And the Gospel of Luke confirms this. And in the book of Psalms, the Lord tells us to be still and to know that I am God. And when someone tells you to be still, it means don't make a move. Don't even think about it. We're waiting on the Lord to guide us, to direct us, to open doors. And the Lord will open doors that no man can close, and close doors that no man can open. And the book of Proverbs tells us this, to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and to lean not on our own understanding, not our minds, but on what God is doing in our lives, on the draw from the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit who lives within. Again, trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Who can figure out what's happening in the world today? The story changes daily. Just look at the nightly news. It changes daily. Who would have thought this year would have been the way it is? And last year was the way it was. Who would have thought? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path. And God calls us to acknowledge him, but not to use him or try to manipulate him, but to acknowledge. To acknowledge is to, you don't acknowledge someone truly unless you use their name. And the Lord has many names, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's powerful. So we have to think about that, acknowledging Him in all our ways, and then He will direct our paths. You see, we want to do it, but God wants to do it for us. We just have to get out of the way and make room for Him and become more obedient to Him, and not to try to figure everything out ourselves, but truly to rely on Him, to be dependent on Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but go with the heart. The Lord is a heart kind of a guy. He loves the heart. He loves a generous giver. Sometimes we think we're smarter than God and can make it on our own. But God tells us to trust in Him with all our hearts. And this is powerful. To lean not on our own understanding. Don't rely on our own understanding, but to pray to God. Ask God for His guidance and direction. How many of us do that? Or are we more prone to, hey, you know, I got this. I can do this. You know, many times you're watching baseball and or football, and when the batter gets up to the batter's box, he makes the sign of the cross. And when he hits a great hit or home run, he looks up, points up, and thanks God. There's a lot of faith in baseball players. There's a lot of faith in people in all sports who couldn't get there without the help of God. And it's a powerful example of how people are aligned with God or acknowledge God in their careers as ball players. And I love that, because a lot of children look up to ball players as role models. Many years ago, a good friend of mine, Fred Schindler, who was the designer of the forklift for the Raymond Corporation, the first forklift ever built was designed by Fred Schindler. And, Fred had a terrible tragedy occur in 1969 when his wife and oldest daughter were killed in Montgomery County, driving into the sun one morning, taking her daughter to school. This woman was his wife, and the oldest daughter was the one of the three daughters was in the car with her, and basically they couldn't see the lights on the right side of the train tracks, and there were no gates in 69, and when they crossed the railroad track, the train was coming and the train hit them, but that sun was full bright and blinded them, and they were killed. Within a short time, a policeman came to Fred's house and said, are you Fred Schindler? He said, yes, I am. He said, come with me. And he said, what do you mean? He just come with me. And he took him to the morgue to identify the bodies of his wife and daughter. And at that moment, his life changed forever. He had a very successful company in the forklift business. He had a great marriage to his wife and three daughters. And now he lost his wife and one of the three daughters. And I tell you this story, my friends, because Fred couldn't find peace again with in a relationship with a woman, because he loved his wife so dearly. But he shared this with me one day when he was out on a date many years later. He was double dating with Joe Namath, And the girl who he was with was friends with the girl who was dating Joe Namath. So he met Joe Namath for the first time. But I tell you this, at the restaurant, when the meal came, Joe Namath said a blessing at the table. And Fred said to him, he said, "Joe, what are you doing?" He said, "Fred, I always say a blessing before my meal." He said, "But in a restaurant?" He said, "I always say a blessing before my meal." And that is an example of how someone can acknowledge God, by saying a blessing at a meal. And since Fred told me that story, and Fred gave me many things, how to do God's work in corporate America, how to pray the rosary, how to say a blessing at a meal, I embraced that habit pattern, and that helped me to grow in faith. And whether we're in restaurants or at home, eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner, we always acknowledge God before that meal. It's a powerful thing, and God calls us to do it. Again, what does he say? He said, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path." And that is the message he gives us in the gospel, and it's powerful. And so I tell you that because if we want to grow in faith, truly grow in faith, we've got to line up what the Word of God is telling us. We can't just sit in the pews and listen and not apply it. We've got to become doers of the Word and not hearers only, as it says in the book of James. Very powerful message. Very powerful. Again, God calls us to acknowledge him in all things, and then he will direct our paths. But the story of Fred Schindler and the loss of his wife goes on, my friends, because when his wife and daughter were killed, he fought the railroad for 1 year. And he proved in court that when you're driving into the sun, you can't see those lights on the right side of the railroad tracks. They are blinded. The people are blinded. And there were no gates. And it took him 1 year to beat the railroad. And he had a neighbor who was an artist, an illustrator for United Airlines. And he drew that intersection. And they beat the railroad in court. And through the death of Mrs. Schindler and her daughter, gates were put up throughout Montgomery County after that. So through their deaths, many, many lives were saved. And Fred fought the good fight to get that job done. It took him a year to do it. And it's the kind of man he was, a very faith-filled man, a man who achieved great things. But he always had, you know, a strong faith. And I share that with you because he was a great friend to me. And God put me in his life to help him, as he, when I met him, was actually half paralyzed and walked with a cane through an accident that he suffered many years later. But nevertheless, the story of his wife's death and the great success in court to put up gates at the railroad tracks throughout Montgomery County was a success story for God, because, you know, all things are possible with God, and no one would take this case. No lawyer would take on the railroad until he found the right person. And he, being the champion that he was, he really succeeded in court and saved the lives of many, many people. I want to take a moment, my friends, to just remind our listeners that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. We're here at 1570 AM, WISP, and 1420 AM, WCOJ. Happy Easter, and God bless you. I hope you enjoyed your Lenten season and Resurrection Day. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air. And I want to take a moment to reflect now on the upcoming Divine Mercy Sunday coming up, which is a special day where, you know, we have access to something incredible. And Divine Mercy Sunday is a special day. It's been given to us as a gift through St. Faustina from our Lord. And here is the promise associated with Divine Mercy Sunday. Divine Mercy Sunday may be the greatest day of the year because of the immeasurable amount of grace that Jesus promised to pour forth on this day. In the private revelation accepted publicly by the church, Jesus made a specific promise to St. Faustina about Divine Mercy Sunday. And when Jesus makes a promise, he always keeps it. And he says it many times in the Word of God, I have promised it, and I will do it, says the Lord. Well, here's the promise. On that day, the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. This is from the diary of St. Faustina. So it's a tremendous message for us to get to confession and to receive communion, and the Lord will give us complete forgiveness, not partial forgiveness, but complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. And the Lord wanted to draw our attention to the immense importance of these two sacraments of confession and Holy Communion. So much so that Christ's promise amounts to offering the graces of complete pardon, or essentially a second baptism. Very powerful. Jesus reiterated these conditions and promise of a complete pardon at least two other times in St. Faustina's diary. The oceans of grace available to us on Divine Mercy Sunday can make us anew and give us a fresh start again. We simply have to make a good confession and stay in a state of grace up to receiving Holy Communion on Divine Mercy Sunday or the Vigil Mass. And Jesus requested this, my friends, that we also do works of mercy, whether deed, word, or prayer. And we want to talk about that, because works of mercy, you know, first of all, if all you can do is pray for other people, it's a beautiful thing, because the power of prayer, we don't even know, although there have been many cases of miracles through prayer. And we know that St. Monica prayed for our son, St. Augustine, many years ago for his conversion, and the power of prayer was answered. So praying for other people is so important, and God calls us to do it as a work of mercy. He calls us to use our words and action to do those works. So through words, we can achieve great things for God. Prayer can be silent. It can be in word where other people hear it. But either way, the words will help to accomplish works of mercy. And what deeds, what good deeds are you willing to do for God? The Lord says, whatever you've done for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. Whatever you did not do for the least of my brothers, you didn't do it for me. So we have opportunity, and the Lord calls us to do these works of mercy, again, through deed, word, or prayer. And there will be, you know, opposition. The devotion to divine mercy was not always so. Initially, the Vatican had received erroneous and confusing translations of Sister Faustina's diary, and in 1959 censored the devotion and banned her writing. The ban would last 20 years, seemingly fulfilling a prophet writing in a diary that her work would be as though utterly undone. But in 1965, Carol Wojtyła, the Archbishop of Krakow at the time, commissioned one of Poland's leading theologians to prepare a critical analysis of the diary. Then, on April 15, 1978, after receiving his analysis and a better translation of the diary, the Vatican's Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith lifted the ban that was there for 20 years. The congregation's Neil Opstadt stated, "There no longer exists on the part of the congregation any impediment to the spreading of the devotion to the divine mercy in the authentic forms proposed by the religious sister Faustina." Years later, on April 30th, the year 2000, Pope John Paul II canonized Sister Faustina Kowalska and established the first Sunday after Easter as Divine Mercy Sunday. But there'll always be opposition to the good that the Lord wants to do through anyone in the world, because he uses us. We are as an extension of the Lord. Our arms, our feet, we go where we are called to go. We do what we are called to do. There will always be opposition. And a 20-year ban, okay, was lifted by Pope John Paul II, a great warrior for the Lord, who was Pope for decades and did tremendous work for goodness, to build the kingdom of God. And we reflect on that today as we prepare for Divine Mercy Sunday, my friends. I want you to remind you that the promise is so important, okay? That on that day, the soul, your soul, my soul, that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. So we acknowledge the great day coming up, Divine Mercy Sunday, and we want to take action to make room for God. Again, why the ban for 20 years? Remember, like many of the visionaries who suffered because people didn't believe, because blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Remember, the people who have not seen and don't believe create this opposition. And that's happened at every apparition site, because when we don't see something as humans, we don't believe it. We don't trust it. But ultimately, God wins over and makes good things happen. He makes the good come out of the bad. And this 20-year ban that was lifted is a great example of that. And with that, we give honor, praise, and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ for giving us this beautiful opportunity to be forgiven for the sins that we have committed. And we're all sinners. No one is excluded. We are called to confess our sins. And the Lord says it in the Word many years ago when he spoke to the apostles. And he told them, preach the gospel through the whole world, But he also told them, those sins who you forgive will be forgiven. And this is important because in the sacramental area of the church, reconciliation, confession, is so important, and it takes humility to get there. It takes honesty and sincerity and great humility to get there. And a lot of people can't do it. We're all in that group at one point or another in our lives. But God calls us to it. With the grace of God, by the grace of God, he gives us the humility to confess the things that were not so good this week, last week, last month, last year, whenever. But he calls us to do it, to make things right. Why? Because he wants to give us access to a clean slate, to start fresh, to be renewed, and to one day be in heaven with him and our Heavenly Father for all eternity. It's powerful. And if we use that tact and the vehicles by which he gives us to arrive in heaven in a beautiful, clean way, the right way, it's going to be a beautiful result for us when we get there. This is important, my friends, and there's no time like the present to start new. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, has just passed, and now we start new again. And the Lord makes all things new through him. So with that, I encourage you to, get to confession, get to communion, and engage in deeds, words, and prayer, those works of mercy that will change your life, like Mother Teresa, who did many, many years of good works. The blessing she was to many. She was blessed, but she was a blessing to many. And that's the zone we want to be in. We're all blessed by the Lord, but we want to be a blessing to many. And through those works of mercy, in words and actions and prayer, we too can live a great life for God. My friends, I want to thank you for listening to our show today. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here. I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer, our founders, who are doing such great work for the last 22 years here, who are truly blessed and are a blessing to many. And also for Frank Eliason and Carolyn and their family, thank you so much for all of the great work you do in producing our shows. My friends, this is Joe Montone, your host here at Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day. God bless.